Yeah, let's talk about some games now, though. I feel like we've gone like, oh wow, we've gone an hour and 30 minutes. This podcast is long.
This is insanity. Go ahead.
So, you guys have been playing Pilot Wings, I take it, a lot?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
just checking the activity log. I put in 19 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, my.
Wow. Oh, but come on. I've heard that. That's impossible. This game has way less content.
It's
ridiculous. I've been doing the same thing over and over and over again after the first hour.
Yeah. Well, trying to get perfects, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've three-starred everything. I'm going back over it for the perfects. And I've also collected everything apart from 2 gold rings on the hang glider in free flight mode.
I've heard those are pain to get.
Yeah, I've got 2 left, so I'm nearly done. To be honest, in my opinion, it's one of the best games I've played in a long time.
Nice.
My review should go up tomorrow, but I understand its limitations. And the score will reflect that, but for me personally, I love it. Absolutely.
What do you mean the score will reflect that? What exactly does that mean? If you lowball this game, heads.
I'm not so much lowballing it. They could have done more.
Okay.
The way I sort of term it is that in a sort of using Monster Games, they looking back, I think I said this on the forums, it's very much Excite Truck, and it could have been Excite Bots, I suppose, and Pilot Wings, it's a bit crazy. It should be a bit more sort of Excite Bots. There should be a bit more kind of crazy fun going on, really, I suppose. But then they could be waiting for a sequel, so. You never know.
The thing is that there's a lot of people that don't like Excite Bots for the simple fact that it went a little bit on the wacky end, and I would have no doubts about that actually happening with Pilot Wings if they went that direction as well. I could see people, doing the whole "it's not true to the series" crap, whatever. I totally understand what he's saying. See, I'm already defending the game, and I didn't even let the man finish giving his mini. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten used to the fact that it's just Woohoo Island, and in fact, I've really, really grown to love Woohoo Island while playing the game, and I'm happy it being just that. But I think there could have been a few more vehicles, and they could have gone. They could have done a bit more with sort of online leaderboards and things like that, I think. And perhaps a co-op mode, maybe, to sort of expand it a bit. And I think people would have been happier with those things. But, I'm certainly not. I don't think I'm lowballing it anyway. I think I'm giving it a very fair score.
Okay, fair enough.
And when I say, I love it. I absolutely love the game. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Just to have like Pilot Wings on the go is actually quite something.
And Woohoo Island on the go as well.
Yes,
actually is great. I mean, it's such a great kind of location that a game location and to have sort of in your pocket, I suppose.
Oh yeah, like I read in some review and I perfectly agree with that. Woo Island is like way more interesting location than any real world island could ever hope to be. There is so much packed on that island, which is not that small, like there's quite a bit of to explore there, but you've got caverns and a volcano, and a resort, obviously. But it's surprising how much you can discover about it when you explore.
I think they brought the plane back from the original game because you didn't have a plane in Pilot Wing 64. You had the gyrocopter, but they've definitely arcaded up the plane a bit more, I think.
Is that a good thing? Yeah, that's what I was
going to
ask.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked the plane in the original game. I think, it could have had a bit more of a realistic feel to it. Because I mean, the original Pilot Wings sort of, borderlined on, it was a perfect marriage then of arcade and flight sim. But I think they've definitely gone sort of more the arcade side with the plane with Pilot Wings Resort, I think. But oh, they got the hang glider right. God,
Yeah.
I love the hang glider.
Hey, what do you guys think about what do you think about the game in 2D? I'm sorry, but it looks a bit lacking. I cannot play the game in 2D.
No, I've got to
Yeah.
have 3D on. It's the same with Nintendogs as well. I feel like I'm
Definitely.
missing something there with 3D off. Any game I have to have 3D on. I feel like I'm selling the game short if I don't have it on.
I
I
know,
feel
and
like.
it's like that's how the game is supposed to look, like when you
Yeah.
have it's yeah, I don't
Yeah, the Pilot Wings, I haven't been playing that much. Like, certainly not as much as WarioWare has been playing. But I did. It's so strange, okay? Like, we did, like, have a. There was the theory that for this game in particular, the 3D would really help with the gameplay because it would help you better. Judge distances, and perhaps like that would make the game easier. And I don't know. I don't know if I expected that to be true or not, but I did like try one of the early Rocket Belt missions. Yeah, so like I was starting over and over the same mission, trying to get it perfect, and the 3D was starting to get on my nerves a bit, like I because of the whole problem of keeping
The sweet spot.
That sweet spot, yeah. And so I turn it off. And so I do my thing as usual. Like I try to complete the mission, try to get it perfect. And like there was a second landing refueling pad that I completely missed. Like I was not even close. Like I completely overshot it. And I was like, wow, okay. That was kind of dramatic. I had no idea that it was that close, and I don't know. Like on the Radio Free Nintendo, like the one of the like the host said that it was probably a placebo effect when people claimed that the 3D could help them gauge distances and stuff. But I don't feel like I was especially distracted. I don't feel like I was actually trying to make that happen. It just happened. Like I thought that the landing pad was much farther than it looked, and then I overshot it, and whoops, I quickly turned the 3D back on after that.
The landing pads with Rocket Belt, they've always been difficult to gauge.
Yeah.
And you've always sort of had that option to switch, and you still have it to switch to the overhead view. And I've always used that, the overhead view with the Rocket Belt to make landings on the landing pads. But you
Yeah.
just don't need it with 3D turned on in Pilot Wings
Right.
World. I think the camera, when you come towards a landing pad, I think the camera does slightly
Yeah, it's
tilt
automatic.
up.
It
Yeah.
tilts up.
But you can't switch to a completely overhead view
Okay.
like you had with the original games, but you just don't need to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Definitely aids the Rocket Belt more than any other vehicle, I think, the 3D.
I think in my experience, the 3D, as far as the benefits of it in the gameplay, it's a little bit more natural. And so it's not something that you're consciously thinking about how it helps you when you're actually playing. It's just a natural extension to how you interpret the visual data on the screen. It's like when I was playing the game, I didn't really think about how it helped me, but I just was perfectly going through the rings and landing without really thinking much about it. But when I turned it back to 2D, I noticed how I had to concentrate more to look at the like if I was an angle off from the if I wasn't dead on with the rings and I was kind of coming from an angle, I would have to kind of predict exactly where I should be turning. But when I turned the 3D on, I didn't have to do that. I knew exactly when, exactly where, I should turn from an angle to go into the target. So, I don't know. I think it's just so natural that you don't even think about it.
Yeah, they're really strict with the landing of the plane for getting perfect. Any
Oh,
finding
tell me
that?
about it.
Yeah, that, yeah. still failing it.
I was today. I tried countless times to land on the runway and get a perfect landing, and I just couldn't get it. And I was getting 29 out of 30 every time. And then one time I landed slightly to the left of the lights, and then it gave me a perfect landing. So, yeah, so I don't know if you guys want to try that, but yeah, whether they're slightly off or whether they mean for you to land, you know, not quite on the flashing lights at the center of the runway, I don't know. But yeah, I slightly to the left of them, and that seemed to give me a perfect landing.
Well, what I thought, like, I don't know, I haven't played it that much, as I said, but I thought that the main thing to try to do was to land in the shadow of that boat thing.
I don't think that matters.
No? Yeah, like, when you come in a... I don't know, I seem to get good results when I came to a complete stop directly in the shadow, directly.
You might have gotten a good landing, but I think he's talking about... you're talking about the perfect landing, right? Where we're I am nowhere close to getting one of those yet.
All right, I guess I shouldn't argue with an expert. All right, I'll take that note of that that tip. Yeah, so any more to say about Pilot Wings?
I suppose just that it looks gorgeous, in my opinion. It's such a beautiful looking game, especially the evening levels. God, never have I loved lens flare so much. I've taken so many photos of lens flare from different angles. It's unbelievable. it's beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, Werber, have you noticed the level of detail system? Like when the textures change and get, you know, a lot more detailed the closer you move to them. Is that something that's
noticed? I've noticed that, yes. Especially on the mountain, I noticed that, I think.
Yeah, you know, at first, on the HD systems, it's very common for, you know, big games to implement that kind of system. But I was just not used to seeing something like that on a Nintendo game. And so it was almost distracting. You know, I'm looking at the mountain, and then I'm like, what is that swimming on there? And then I'm like, oh, that's what that is. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty neat. You know, obviously there were some trade-offs with the whole polygon count between the Wii version and the 3DS version. But, you know, it was interesting that they did that with this one.
I mean, it's amazing how far away from the island you can get as well and still sort of see it, you know. And I won't go into details of the mission because I don't want to spoil anything, but the third rocket belt mission in Silver, where you're really up high, then that's as far as I'll go with it. That level is spectacular, really. I wish there was more of that, to be honest. That level is great. It's such a good game. The missions... I mean, people say it's a lot of the same, but they've got some stuff in there that really changes it up quite a bit. Again, I won't go into spoilers too much, but I think they're quite diverse and varied. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to your review.
All right. Okay. I hope it doesn't disappoint.
Cool. I'll move on to one of the games I've been playing, and I think I'm probably gonna be the only one talking about them because, I guess I made some strange choices. I don't know. Well, okay, I'll just start with Rayman 3D, and I won't talk too much about it because there's not that much to say about it. It's everything you've heard about it is true. It's a crappy port. I've never played Rayman 2 before, and this is a port of that. And I can see that, you know, underneath the bad job that they did porting it, there's a good game there. So I'm going to keep playing it. But I'm going to keep playing it pretty intensively for the next few days, and then I'm going to trade it in as fast as I can. Because there's no way that is the best way to experience Rayman. I don't know. Like, the game crashed on me on an early cutscene. Which is never a good impression. And beyond that, like, I've heard problems. People had problems about with the frame rate. I haven't really encountered any beyond like the screen map, like the between levels. Maybe once I get into the more open areas, I'm gonna have problems with more with the frame rate. But basically, I think they should have touched up the animation because it's quite dated at this point. Like Rayman does not move fluidly at all. Like the animation's pretty good, but it could definitely use a little bit more in between the frames, you know. And beyond that, there's also like spots where you see these like I don't know, you see like butterflies flying around or little swarms of bugs floating over like a mushroom or a flower or something. Those are 2D sprites and they don't look good at all.
Wow.
But the cool thing about them though is that they do pop out of the screen. Like
I'm not
it's
sure.
actually
I'm not sure if that's cool if they don't look
well, yeah,
good.
that's the thing. Like they're so poorly animated that it's kind of a I don't know how to describe it. Like it's not it doesn't physically hurt your eyes, but it
It's
feels really
disturbing.
yeah, it's very unpleasant. Like you can almost feel like these things, like I don't know, coming at you, and you just like it's not a pleasant feeling at all. There's also another problem with the 3D turned on in that game. Like the well, first like the camera is really really bad. Like you don't have a whole lot of control over it, and usually it picks the worst angle possible. Like I have a lot of trouble aligning the camera behind Rayman when he's facing a bottomless pit. For some reason, the camera just insists on looking on showing the other way, and then like it's very easy to fall to your death.
You must take the leap of faith.
Yeah, that doesn't work. I tried. Well, actually, it does. It is forgiving in the way that you can kind of be over the bottomless pit for quite a bit, you know. And like, if you've got even like 1 pixel of your shoes touch the ground, then you're floating in midair, basically.
That's
So
terrible.
that's a well, you know, you take what you can get. No, so that's terrible. But mostly like the camera. I hope that they avoid this in the next Mario game because like it's really like I think you explained this phenomenon at some point, Casper, when you said that when things go over the edge of the screen, the illusion of 3D is broken.
Yes. Okay, so there's two. Okay, when you're talking about 3D, in general, there's the parallax, and then there's the which is basically at the screen, and then there's the positive parallax, which is, going into the screen, and then there's the negative parallax. The problem is that in order for the, human brain to kind of put it together that it's actually coming from the screen, you have to see the entire object. I mean, if there's a physical, the physical border is, obstructing the view, then obviously that it's not actually coming out of the screen. So that's a problem. If you don't have, the entire object, whatever's supposed to be protruding, if it's not, if it's being obstructed in any way, the effect is lost as far as, the negative parallax
Yeah.
goes.
Yeah, and like I wasn't sure what you meant when you explained it until I saw it for myself, but it happens a lot in Rayman because
That's
he's
not
got
good.
no, because like there's a lot of environments where you're basically in a kind of in a tunnel, you know, and like the camera will kind of clip through walls and stuff.
Yuck, man, that
Yeah.
sounds like a bad game.
Yeah. Well, I'm still enjoying it, but yeah, we've already talked too much about it because it's not a good port. It's I'm enjoying it. I'm going to return it as fast as I can. I encourage everyone to not give Ubisoft their money for this game. Like, not encourage this sort of behavior.
You've
I
done
feel
your
like,
job.
yeah, I feel like a fool for falling for it. But at least I'll have played this classic. But
When the camera sort of, well, if the camera is okay at all during the game, can you see the benefits of the 3D with platforming at all? Like Miyamoto sort of states, that hitting a box with your head, is a lot better in 3D.
We talked about Mario 3DS on the last podcast and all the advantages that could bring and everything. I'm not really seeing them in Rayman, but the difference is that Mario 3DS is going to be designed with 3D in mind.
Yeah, true.
And you know, Rayman is from the era where it's designed for being displayed in 2D. So like it's very forgiving. Like you've got a lot of space. Like the jumps are not super punishing. You've got this big shadow that tells you exactly where you're going to land. You know, like it's designed with that in mind. So you could play it in 2D. You would play it fine. You can play it in 3D. It's going to play fine. I guess there was one spot where you see Rayman from overhead, and like you're falling down this vertical shaft, and so like you have to float and like pick up these fairies or I don't know, and that kind of helped, you know, like to gauge distances and to grab them. But I didn't turn it to 2D to test this theory during that section, so I don't know. But I think that we're going to see an actual advantage when games are designed for 3D in mind, you know?
Yeah, and Mario's going to probably have some more precision platforming anyway.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like Rayman is more of an adventure game so far, I gotta say. So yeah, that's enough about Rayman. don't buy it. Like maybe at $10 used, so to make sure that Ubisoft doesn't get a dime for it. But other than that, skip it. So the other game that you guys have been playing a lot is Street Fighter 4, probably.
Well, I wouldn't say a lot on my end, but
same here. Not a lot really. Pilot Wings has been taking up most of my time, but I think I've put about 3 hours into it.
There's a lot of users from Negative War playing it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's become like the default game to go to. Like, it seems like it's the one that uses the most of the features on the 3DS. Like, it's actually online. It uses the Street Pass thing with like this trophy thing. Like, when you meet someone who's got Street Fighter data on their 3DS, then like these little figurines fight each other. I don't know. Like it's I haven't gotten the game, but it seems like the game that really went out of its way to try to utilize all of the features.
I'm really impressed with it. You wouldn't even think it's a launch, you know, game the way you know how polished it is, but I don't know. You know, and I'm actually a fighting game fan, you know. It's one of my top genres, but you know, I've played a ton of Street Fighter, kind of burn out on it. And I actually prefer the Tatsunoko versus Capcom style. So falling back to this is not
really. All right, yeah. I can't imagine. Are you a fighting game fan, Warrior?
Not particularly, to be honest.
You got this because it was like the default killer app, according to other people, right?
No, I think I picked it up more because I'd have the opportunity to play online with people from Negative World.
Pretty much.
And friends and things like that. Yeah, that whether I will a great deal or not, I don't know. I mean, I would like to get in on the boot camp thread because I haven't really played much Street Fighter since something like 2 Championship Edition or something back in the day.
Yeah, I haven't followed that series at all, personally.
For shame. What did you do in the 90s, Panda?
Oh, let's not go there. how about you, Patlio? Like, isn't that the game that you tested the 3DS with?
Yeah, and I was actually really impressed with the graphical capability because I was like, wow, this is a handheld doing this. I mean, it looks better than the Wii. I mean, a lot of the games that are on the Wii right now don't look as good as that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed.
Yeah, and I did see Street Fighter 4 in action. you know, like there were these demo stations before the release of the 3DS, so I got to take a look at it, and it definitely has, like, it was the one game that I was seeing the 3D effect immediately, and it looks just really, really good, you know, like, I don't have anything bad to say about it. Actually, one thing I forgot to say about Rayman is that there's like the ghosting problem that rears its head. But actually, I think, Casper, you could explain the ghosting better than I could. but basically, I'll just say what the effect is. Basically, you see a double image. Like, you see on the left or the right, or maybe both sides at the same time, of like certain objects. Like, you see a phantom image next to them.
The problem is that there are so many causes for that, though. Like, you know, either, you know, you, I mean, it could range from anywhere between someone having the system too close to their face and, you know, obviously the images are overlapping, or you're out of the sweet spot, or, you know, if it's in a dark area, you know, you got the light coming from the other image, you know, actually going through the pixel, you can see it because, you know, it's totally dark. So, yeah, there's so many, I don't know. That's but the only real problem I've seen with the ghosting, I don't have Rayman, but with Pilot Wings, and when you go in the caves and, you know, it's darker in there, or any, like, or under the bridge or something like that, you can kind of see a slight, it's not a huge, you know, game breaking deal or anything, but you could, it's, you know, it's noticeable.
Right. So yeah, like, definitely, like, the Rayman suffers from this, and it's really annoying. Like, it's and apparently there's really nothing that Nintendo could do about it. Like, it's a limitation of the parallax barrier technology.
Yeah,
from what you said.
Yeah, as far as the light bleeding through the pixels, that's not really anything they can change. Besides, you know, actually making a different screen that wouldn't allow that kind of penetration. But I'm not aware of any kind of screen that does that. But, you know, I posted this on the thread on Negative World, but I mean, it's possible that they could change the in-game cameras. Okay, we all know that there's two, or if we all don't, we do now. There are two in-game cameras that, you know, obviously produce a left image and a right image, okay? When you move the slider, it changes the distance between those two the two images. So, you know, they move further or closer apart. You know, obviously, if the images are going closer together, the overlap gets smaller and smaller. So, I mean, that's a way to address it. But the only problem with that is that then you lose the depth, you know, which would be kind of pointless. So, I honestly don't know how they're addressing it. But the Resident Evil games didn't seem to have that problem. So, I don't know. Maybe there's some solution they have to it that is not, you know.
You saw them in action at E3?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And both of them, I didn't see any of the ghost, or I didn't notice it, at least, any of the ghosting issues with those games.
Hmm. Yeah, Capcom seems to be pretty good about this. Yeah. Like, I'm guessing that...
They're really on top of it, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm guessing that, okay, Ubisoft, you kind of expect them to do a crappy job, sadly. So I guess that, the thing is, apparently game designers can design their games around this imitation. Like, the reason, like, I mentioned Rayman because it had this problem, but my point was that Street Fighter doesn't, you know? Like, it looks so bright and everything. Like, it seemed to me that the... sweet spot was larger, you know, like, it seemed to me that like the 3D was really, really clear. And I'm really relieved to hear that Resident Evil doesn't have the ghosting problem either. So I'm guessing that designers can work around this limitation
They have to be doing it with the cameras. There has to be some way that they're manipulating those cameras to get the angles just right, because I noticed with Street Fighter 2 is that the angles of the sweet spot, there's like, okay, there's the main sweet spot where you're holding it right in front of your face, but then if you tilt it, you can like see the shifts between these different spots where you can still see 3D as it's tilted, you know, like, okay, you hold it in front of your face, you tilt a little bit, and then you tilt a little more, and then now you see 3D again. then you tilt it some more, there's a blurriness, and then you tilt a little bit more, and then there's 3D again. So they got it, like, you know, they really, you know, worked the kinks out with the sweet spot for that one, because it's not like blended, like with Nintendogs, when I'm playing that game, it's hard to explain, but it's like it blends, the double images kind of blend in and out. They're not very distinct shifts between the sweet spots like they are with Street Fighter. So I don't know. I don't know what Capcom's doing, but they've certainly done the research.
Cool, cool. I guess the lesson here is to buy Capcom software and perhaps avoid Ubisoft software.
hey, you know what? You know the lenticular cards on the Street Fighter cover? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, where they kind of make it like, you know, the little you've seen holographic cards before, right?
Yep.
Okay, and you know how you look at it, and then when you turn it, the more you turn it, you know, you kind of see the shifts between when you can see the effect. Well, that's kind of like how Street Fighter is.
Okay.
It's like the sweet spot is like the lenticular cards.
Hmm. All right. I think we're going to transition to the next game. And just after I said avoid Ubisoft software, I'm going to recommend the Ubisoft game. You guys haven't been playing Ghost Recon, right?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. So once again, I'm alone. I do want
that, though, because of what I've seen of it.
Yeah, like it's an interesting game. I had no interest in an ordinary Ghost Recon game. Like I did try to play the first one on the Xbox with my roommate, and I kept dying, and it was really not fun. This game is completely different. It's not a first-person shooter. It's a turn-based strategy game, and it's made by the guy who made the XCOM games. And, you know, that series of strategy games is pretty highly regarded. Like, I played them at some point because I had, like, they showed up in the list of the top 100 PC games of all time in PC Gamer. And, yeah, definitely, like, really, really very well done turn-based strategy game. And Ghost Recon is no different. Like you've got your team, you've got different classes. You've got like a sniper, a medic, a more like a heavy machine gun guy, and how much can you describe a turn-based strategy game?
How accessible is the game?
It's very accessible. Like so far, I've only like there's maybe like the first six missions, which are kind of tutorials. Mm-hmm. They introduce you very slowly to the different abilities of the characters, you know, and in what context they're good and in what context, you know, like they show you their different abilities and their strengths and the weaknesses.
What, kind of like the first like few missions in Fire Emblem, where like the first few levels are like, you know, tutorial levels.
Yeah, they're and the good thing is that they may be tutorial levels, but they're still like integrated in the story. You know, it doesn't say like tutorial, and you know, like then you go through the motions and everything. They do like there's a lot of help windows popping up every time a new concept is introduced. But yeah, that's only to the game's advantage, you know, like because sometimes maybe the icons or the way certain things work is not immediately obvious, so you're really thankful for these help windows that pop up. The only issue I have with them is that when you do lose or have to restart a mission, then they'll show up again. And maybe they take a little bit more time to cycle through than I'd like. But still, like, it's very accessible. The different... I guess, wow, I'm starting this with a lot of nitpicks, but I guess another problem that I have is that the units, okay, clearly, like, the medic is a woman, you're not going to confuse her with any of the other units, but, like, some of the, like, I have trouble differentiating between the sniper and the regular all-around guy with the machine gun.
Is it because they're too tiny, or is it just the design is not?
Well, yeah, it's not Yeah, it's not different enough. Like, they look alike, and even like with a quick glance, like I'm not into guns. I'm Canadian, so I can tell the difference between a sniper rifle and a automatic weapon. But at first glance, like what you only see the silhouette on the bottom screen of their guns.
Mm, okay.
So I you know, if I'm not paying attention, it can happen that I think I'm using the sniper, and then it turns out it's the other guy. I guess it's my own fault, but I do have a problem with like these you know, having units that are a little bit too samey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, yeah, like very accessible. The missions are pretty diverse so far, you know. There's a lot of potential for strategy, because like you can have cover, different types of cover. You know, like fences will provide different cover from houses, which will be different from bushes. All of those will affect movement and, you know, field of vision and range. Yeah, elevation also plays a part. And I guess that's where, like, the 3D is kind of cool. Like, you see,
okay.
Perhaps, like, you see the top-down view. And, like, even if you're watching it in 2D, you can get the idea that one is more elevated than the other, you know? But in 3D, like, there's that potential for some limited but still, like, eye candy, you know?
Mm. Well, how's the presentation? I gotta say, I'm not a fan of games that use the sprite overlay, the 3D environment. It just looks tacky to me. But maybe your impression is different.
Well, during gameplay, like everything is polygonal.
Really? What? The screenshots.
Yeah, screenshots don't do this game justice.
Okay.
This game does look like a slightly higher res DS game. Like, it's not a looker. But in 3D, you don't notice.
So wait, but
much.
They're not. So they're not sprites then? I'm confused.
No, they're polygonal.
Okay.
Yeah, wasn't this originally a DS game, and they just made it over to the 3DS, decided to
do
that.
It never came out in DS, but it was originally supposed to come out for DS, and then Ubisoft came in and said, like, how about making this a launch game, and we're not going to give you actually more time or resources to make the shift, but there you go. So obviously, like, they took the opportunity, because this same guy who made XCOM and now Ghost Recon, he also made this GBA game called Rebel Star Tactical Command, Rebel Star Tactical Command, which came out on the GBA after the DS came out. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who bought it, except perhaps like his friends and family. I don't know, but even then, I'm pretty sure probably I'm the only one. So like, yeah, like it's a, and I think it's a good thing that it made the transition to 3DS, because then it gives us like an actual meaty game, like a long campaign and everything, which apparently people think is lacking in the launch lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Like the strategy is good. The graphics are nice in 3D. And yeah, like it's entirely polygonal except for the cutscenes, which are like these this artwork, basically fixed artwork, character portraits. But they look good. Like they look.
I cannot believe I have not seen any screenshots of the polygonal characters ever. There wasn't a whole lot of media coverage for the game either, so I don't know. I've just never, like, this is the first time I'm hearing it, so I may be interested now.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it's the like the number one launch game for the 3DS for a lot of publications out there. Like 1UP gave it like the highest score of any of the launch games.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely highly recommended. The only thing is that also, just like Rayman, it did crash on me. Actually twice.
Oh, is that the game that's giving the black screen of death?
Yep. Yeah. And actually
you want to talk about that?
I don't know. There's a lot of things being said about it. It mostly happens with this game, it looks like. Even like Craig Harris from IGN, formerly from IGN, tweeted about it. Like, he said that the game crashed a lot. And apparently that's true, because like in the second and third missions, I had crashes. And what happens is that all of a sudden, it's kind of cool actually, because like the picture,
cool.
Yeah, the picture seems to dissolve. You know, like it's very weird. You know, like it's like the picture is being teleported out of your 3DS or something, and or is melting, and then you're left with a black screen.
Wow.
Yeah, then you have to like hard reset your 3DS and start over, basically.
I've heard if you turn your Wi-Fi off
while
playing or something,
I've heard that as well. Some people don't believe that actually has to do with anything, but I'm not taking chances. Since then, I have turned off the Wi-Fi, and I haven't had any crashes since.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, like people take all sorts of fake remedies, and then they feel better about their cold, and they're like, "Oh, that proves that this works."
All you got to do is go to GameFAQs, and there will be like, you know, a billion made up solutions.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's actually what was causing it, but I haven't had the problem since then. So,
but how would that even like? Does the game even use Wi-Fi at all?
No. No, there's no Wi-Fi functionality at all.
That is weird.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess that is one big strike against the game. But other than that, the gameplay is solid. You can save at any point during the missions, and it's not like one of those weird like soft saves that disappears once you reload your game. Mm. So I would recommend if you play this game to try to get into the habit of saving often, and then you shouldn't have too much trouble with it. Yeah, I think we're going to move on to another game. You guys have been both playing Nintendogs, apparently.
Yay.
Plus Cats.
Plus Cats.
That's another one I would probably buy whenever I get my 3DS.
I only got it because I pre-ordered a 3DS when a website had a pricing error, and they canceled the order. But then I got an email the day after launch saying, thank you very much for your pre-order of the 3DS. Here's a £25 off voucher for any 3DS game.
Oh, that's so nice.
Worth £35. So, yeah, I ended up with it for £10.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. I think that's about $20, I think, or $18, something like that. So, yeah, I had that pretty good deal.
Well, I got the game because I wanted it. And
presume that like I'm someone who's never played the original DS game and doesn't know anything about Nintendogs and never really cared. Tried to sell me on it. That's just like a completely fictional scenario. Okay. I'm just trying to help you out here.
You know, honestly, this is going to be very difficult because unlike the original, this one, it's not really that compelling. But it does make for good secondary like software, if that makes any sense. Kind of like, you know, how people talked about having a 360 and then having the Wii to the side. It's kind of like, this is my side game. It's one of those, if you're looking for a more relaxed, casual experience, obviously, you know, this is going to be something along those lines. I would say if you have pets, you're probably not even going to be interested in this title.
Well, my cat doesn't do anything anyway.
but it does make for a very good simulation game. Based on taking care of pets, and the reason why is all because of the behavior of the AI behavior of the pets. Not even the animation is all that convincing, but it's what they actually do and how they react to things. Just random things like, you know, just how they decide to, you know, I can just honestly, and this may not sound very compelling because it's really not, but I can just literally boot up the game and just stare at the screen and watch my little puppy, his name is Milo, sit there at the fireplace, and then he slowly, you know, drops his head and then he starts squinting, and I can tell he's getting sleepy, but I can tell that he's fighting his sleep. And you know, he doesn't really want to go to sleep, and you know, so then he lays down for a second, then he hops right back up, you know, all alert. And I don't know, it's little nuances like that that makes it really convincing, and it's, you know, it's kind of like, why, you know, it's almost like asking a person, well, why do they want a pet, you know, like a real pet, you know, it's like that kind of interaction and the little nuances in the behavior. I don't know, that's what makes it interesting piece of software.
Okay, I feel like we're missing a whole, I don't know, I feel there's something missing here. Like, wasn't there a whole lot of, well, from Nintendo anyway, a whole lot of hype about, like, the fact that the puppy would recognize you and, like...
That is totally... I honestly forgot about that feature. If it's implemented, I don't even know, like, notice it, you know? And I've occasionally, like, consciously tried to move closer to the screen. That didn't seem to have any real effect or anything.
I think it's more that if you give the 3DS to someone else and the puppy doesn't recognize the face, that it won't give them as much attention, or it'll be standoffish compared to how it would be with you.
Now, that is true. Let me, I have a story to attest to that. I gave the system to my wife, and the kids were also behind her, and they were all calling out his name. And he was just sat, he did not respond at all. Like, you know, he looked back at him and wouldn't do anything. And even when I called his name, and my wife was holding the system in front of her face, he still didn't come to the screen. It wasn't until I brought the system, you know, back to me and I looked at the screen and didn't call his name that he actually came. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yes, I think that is the use of the technology. I think that, you know, that's what the facial recognition does. I don't think it'll look at you as you move around or anything like that. Or...
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel that in theory it's pretty cool. In reality, I'm not sure that. Look how my dog is completely ignoring you is the best way to show off the 3DS's capabilities. You know.
I tell you what's really impressive is the eyes of the cat.
Oh, God.
I tell you what, it's like they're staring right at you. I've never seen eyes done so well in a game before, I don't think.
The polygon eyes are great.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
I don't know. You know, I do enjoy taking them out for walks. There are very, you know, like realistic type of things that you have to. One thing that I learned, you know, on my own, I didn't even read the tutorial for this, but is when I was throwing the frisbee, he initially would not give the. Like, first of all, he wouldn't even, like, I threw the frisbee, he wouldn't even bring it back to me. He got the frisbee, just sat on the floor and didn't, you know, he was just, you know, chewing on it. And then, you know, I tapped the screen to make him come back. But then when I went to grab the frisbee, he didn't want to give it back. He was kind of, you know, still holding on to it. So at some point, I accidentally touched his head before I grabbed the frisbee. And it made the little, you know, jingle sound. So apparently I did something right. And then it hit me. Oh, I should probably be rewarding him for coming back to me with the frisbee in the first place before trying to take it away from him.
How's that reinforcement?
So, and after I did that, after I started petting him every time it came back, he immediately gave me the frisbee back. So, you know, it's, I don't know. I mean, if it's good for the what it's intended to be, you know, a pet sim, I guess. I'm not gonna sit here and try to convince anybody that there's a, you know, ton of content. If it's not something that sounds appealing, then you probably wouldn't enjoy it. But
I feel also that must be a harder sell, even on the audience that likes pet sims. Now that there's been so many.
Mm-hmm.
On the DS and on the Wii, all those Pets with a Z game. Nintendogs is hardly as original as it was when it came out.
Right. Maybe if Miyamoto stuck with Nintendolphins, he didn't get a cat.
That would be really awesome. training. You know, I don't know how many of you have played. Well, I know you, Paleo, but have played Endless Ocean. But training the dolphins in there was in both games was pretty fun. So I would really enjoy a full game based on that.
All right, I'll move on to the final game that I want to talk about, and it's actually the one that I had. You know, like, I don't know how this happened, but I think this was my killer app. It's actually the game that I unwrapped first and put in the 3DS first and played first. It's a Steel Diver, and I'm kind of
gonna have to sell me on that one.
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty much the only one on Negative World who's got it, and that's weird because I don't know. Like, it's the only original game in the launch lineup, and I feel like I don't know. Like, I played it a little bit for about like 4 or 5 hours. I completed the sixth. There are six missions that you can start with. That are unlocked, plus two that you unlock by playing through the missions with like the three types of vessels, that submarines that you have. You know, there's like one small quick one, there's like one medium one, and one big one that's less maneuverable but packs more firepower. So there's a little bit of grinding involved in unlocking the two final missions. And like the thing is,
so wait, are the two extra missions in addition to the seven, or
they are on the menu screen, like on the mission select screen? They just have like a, you know, like a padlock next to them, and basically when you finish quote unquote the game, it tells you, well, you know, now do this so that you can play the two other missions.
Oh, I got you.
So I can understand why the reviews gave it the scores that they did, but I don't feel that they reflect really how much fun I've been having with it. Because, you know, like I first played the game and then I went on the GameRankings.com and saw that it was like in the 50% range. That wasn't expected. I thought that people would like it a little bit more than that. But I can understand why they gave it the scores that they did, because yeah, there's not a whole lot of missions. Like in under 3 hours, I finished the six ones that are unlocked from the start. So they're not terribly difficult. The level design doesn't seem terribly complex, you know.
You're not selling me on this.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like the games that I would like to recommend, I really can't without a lot of caveats, you know, like without a lot of warnings.
Yeah, because I mean, I've from what I played, it was, you know, interesting. I really like the interface of you know, actually controlling the subs, but you know, I assumed that the full game would, you know, would. I don't know what I was assuming, but
yeah, well, it is kind of a tech demo, you know, like but yeah, like it seems to me like they could have put in more stages because they don't seem overly complex. Like the first stage is almost like a straight line. It's I don't know what they were thinking. They did try to inject some visual
variety?
Diversity.
Yeah,
because you know, like in one stage it's in the jungle and there's one spot where there's like waterfalls and there's rainbows and that's pretty cool. Like the first stage is more of a, you know, you get to a city at the end, and there are other stages that are more like you go deeper into the ocean and you meet like kind of sea creatures that you relentlessly attack. And they don't seem to really. Yeah, I know. Yeah, like there's like. Yeah, well, actually, that's one of the things that I kind of like about the game that is so weird. I like weird stuff in my games, and I'm like, there's like this slight puzzle element at some point where you have to break through a floor, like a, kind of a. Don't ask me what the floor is doing in the ocean, but. Basically, like you have to break through this, this floor, and there's like a giant head, a stone head, apparently you've stumbled upon this submerged civilization, you know, like the remnants of an old city, I guess, probably invaluable, you know, probably should be researched, and you know, archaeologists would probably discover tons of things just studying it. So you start like sending torpedoes around so that you can make the big head stone head crash through the floor, and therefore, you know, basically destroying an archaeological treasure. And all that to get to a point at the end of the level where like several submarines were, you know, we lost contact with them, whatever. And then there's this giant squid thing.
The Nautilus? I've seen that in the
Yeah, no, I think that's in one of the two missions that are still locked. It's more of like, I don't know, a giant shellfish thing. Like, it's very,
That
I
sounds
don't
like a
know.
Nautilus.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, it might be the one. And it's just like moving from left to right and left to right, and you keep shooting at it until it's dead. It doesn't even seem to mind you at all. It's just like, yeah, doing its thing deep in the ocean where like no one should be, and you kill it. And so I don't know. Like, there's not a whole lot of story to this game. There's not a whole lot of. I think the point of the game really is, it might be a side scroller and might be slow paced, but it's kind of a time attack game. It's kind of an arcade game. Like every mission, like the story ones, and like there are a couple of actual courses that are called like races or something, beyond the story missions. And like there are rankings. They're not online, unfortunately. They're not online, the boards. But yeah, like the goal is basically try to beat your own time. And there are like developer ghosts that you can try to beat, and they're quite a challenge. So yeah, like the whole point of the game seems to be to try to speed run it. And I can kind of get with that, you know? Like it's actually quite compelling. Like first, like the controls are unusual. Like it's all touchscreen based, and you move like these sliders to try to yeah, like control your propeller or whatever. And like the submarines have this inertia that you have to keep in mind all the time,
See,
you know,
I
like.
like that's what I like about the controls of the subs is the way the way that the touch works with the inertia is pretty cool.
Yeah, like you know, like if you're going full speed ahead, then if you stop the yeah, so like if you stop the propeller, it's gonna keep going forward, you know, and even if you go like full reverse, then it's gonna take a while before it comes to
Right.
stop and then reverses.
Isn't that a bit odd though for a time attack game?
Well, I don't know. I find it quite fun, you know, like it's compelling. Like it's like nothing I've played before.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I like it. And I do like the fact that it's a time attack game, because there, when you see it that way, then maybe the lack of content is less, I don't know, you don't mind as much.
Right, I understand.
I still feel like, you know, I understand why it got the scores it got. You know, I understand that it seems like they could have made more stages, given how simple they look, you know, like but I still feel like I'm having a ton of fun playing it, and perhaps I wouldn't tell you guys to go ahead and buy it at $40, but I really hope that people pick it up at some point if it drops in price. Because really, like, it's I don't know, I'm having tons of fun with it, and
It does need a release date over here first.
oh yeah. And in Japan as well. Like, it's only in North America, and I'm the only person in the negative world who's bought it, so that can't be good.
I think they've announced the 23rd of May for Australia, which is random.
Is Australia in your region? Like, is it
It's
considered?
a PAL region, I believe.
Okay,
Yeah,
so
so
the games would be compatible with your 3DS.
yeah, but yeah, it would be. But how I go importing an Australian version of the game, I don't know.
Well, see how I can't recommend it at $40. I certainly wouldn't recommend it at Australian prices.
Yikes.
So, yeah, I hope.
Our prices are pretty bad though. At 40 quid a pop.
Yeah.
£40, which is around $70, I think.
Ah, wow, ridiculous.
Oh my god.
All right. Well, if you can get a good deal on it, I would recommend it. And if not, I guess I don't know. It's I don't know. Those who want to take a chance on it, go ahead. Just don't be expecting a whole lot of new content, you know, for your buck. But if it sounds like the kind of game that you're into, like replaying over and over again, then yeah, I definitely recommend it. And also, yeah, like I guess I should mention that there's like other modes to the game. The one I just described, the side-scrolling one, is definitely the main mode. There's another mode which is kind of a battleshipy kind of strategy game.
I want to hear more about that because I haven't, I didn't get a chance to check that one out, and I just want to. It sounds interesting, so I really liked Battleship when I was younger. So.
Well, it could be interesting, but unfortunately, it's kind of junk.
You know what? I am not getting this game. You just sold me off the game.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, I'm just trying to tell it like it is. Like, it's not my job to do their marketing for them. But, yeah, the I don't know. It's kind of baffling, really. The strategy game is turn-based. It would have some potential as like a distraction from the main game, except you can't turn off the battle animations. You can't speed them up. And to me, that is a sin, you know? That is,
I can see how that could be annoying.
It is annoying because they do take a lot of time. And so like at first I was enjoying it, you know, like the mechanics seem like they're simple, but they're, you know, they get the job done. Like the goal is to destroy either the supply ship or the sub of the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see anything on, you know, on the other side of like the, there's a frontier, you know, and only your sub can cross it and try to get to the other guy's supply ship. And then you, like he's got, and you've got like ships that can try to kill the sub. But yeah, you basically don't see anything. Sorry. like, you know, like
I'm trying to visualize this all in my
Yeah, it's a game of cat and mouse, you know. Like it's a okay. Like the battleship comparison is apt, I guess, because you know, you're kind of shooting in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do find it, then you know, like suddenly like you found your prey and you can try to win the game, basically, except that...
Oh, so once they're exposed, you can go on, like, a full-on attack?
Well, no, it's only the sub that can try to get the other guy's supply ship.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, the battle animations take way too long, and also they're kind of... they're interactive, you know? Like, suddenly, like, there's a mode where you're trying... With the sub, like, you are in the first person periscope vision and you're trying to torpedo the boats and everything. And the other guy is trying to kill you by guessing if your sub is at a depth of like 50, 100 or 150 feet. And it's just like random, basically. I mean, when you're playing against a computer, it's random. If it's playing against a human being, then, you know, you choose the depth of your sub and you hope that the guy won't guess. But there's not, you know, that's really not a whole lot of... it's not too engaging, you know, these little battles. Yeah, like, basically, I've already talked too much about this mode. It's really not worth checking out. If you want some good old strategy, you know, turn-based strategy, just get Ghost Recon. Seriously. You know, like, even as a distraction from Steel Diver, you know, you're better carrying around a copy of Ghost Recon and to pop it in and play that instead.
All right.
And there's a final mode in the game. It's more of a mini game, you know. It's, you know, you've probably seen it. It's the one where it uses gyroscopes of the 3DS, and basically it's as if you were controlling like the periscope and you're trying to torpedo enemy ships. And so, like, you turn around and you try to aim at those ships and you send torpedoes. Like, it's very, very basic. It's kind of fun. Like what I've read a whole lot online is that, oh, like, I'm going to play this on a swivel chair because then it's going to be like, it just makes sense, I have tried playing that game on a swivel chair and I would not recommend it because for some reason, it does, I got nauseous almost instantly. It really, I got dizzy and yeah, I won't repeat that experience. And when you play it standing up and just like turning, like you might look silly, but it plays better. And I didn't get that dizziness. So I don't know what it is about swivel chairs. Maybe I was trying to go too fast. I don't know, but I would not recommend it. That mode is fun, but it's really just, again, a distraction. I prefer the main mode, which is speed running through these side-scrolling levels. All right, so I think we're gonna wrap this up. If you guys, like, do you have final thoughts to share? We've talked about the 3DS a whole lot already, but yeah, basically, like, you do you feel good about your purchase? Would you say that people should rush out and get one right now?
I would say that I am 100% satisfied with my purchase. I don't know about telling everyone to go out and grab one because honestly, if the content isn't there, there's not really any reason to recommend it other than novelty factor. But I do believe that this is eventually going to be a big hit for a lot of people when, there's a lot of stuff out there for them to check out. But I mean, me personally, it's just it's a great system all around.
Cool. Where are?
Just like to tell everyone that the 3DS is a fantastic system, and I think I haven't regretted my purchase. If you like the look of the lineup, and you should because Pilot Wings is in it, then pick one up.
Paleo, you're still planning on getting one in like the next month or two or whenever you can.
Probably at the latest it'd be May, and that'd be a month before some of the big releases come out. So, because it's speculated that Zelda will come out in June, and probably Resident Evil Mercenaries, and those are two games that I wanted to get. So, I should have software that I want to buy very soon once I get it.
Cool. Myself, I basically agree with everyone when, like, it's the first time I've been an early adopter. And so I can totally understand people skipping out on the launch and waiting for good software or software that interests them before buying one. I guess my only beef is with the people saying it's like the worst launch lineup ever. Just shut up. It's not true. You're lying and you're being an idiot. Basically, wait it out, and the software will only get better and more diverse. And it's already a pretty good selection, I would say. So I think we can look forward to a lot of great games. All right, so that's the end of our podcast. I'm just gonna say a few things quick. If you want to comment on something that you've heard tonight, well, or whenever you've listened to this, you can chime in on the negativeworld.org boards. And if you don't feel like signing up there because we're too intimidating and too sexy, I guess, you can also check out, like, comment to our Twitter feed, which is negative_world. You can also, there's a Facebook page, just look for Negative World and you're going to find it. And if you are subscribed to iTunes, please rate us because that will get the word out on the podcast. And right now, not enough people have rated us. And so we don't even appear anywhere. And I don't know, like when you make a podcast, you like being heard, I guess. So please do that. And I hope you enjoyed, the podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it. And I hope it helped you. I hope we weren't too stupid and that we helped you make your decision and everything. And thank you guys for being here.
No problem. I really enjoyed it.
All right. See you next time. And the regular schedule is every 2 weeks. So yeah, we're not going to be recording next week. So look forward to the next episode in 2 weeks. Goodbye. Hello, and welcome to this special episode of the Negative World Podcast. It's April 2nd today, and with me, I am... See? Editing. Starting over. Hello, and welcome to the Negative World Podcast. It's April 2nd... Okay.
That was amazing. That was amazing.
I'm sorry. Hello, and welcome to the... Fuck. Oh,
you didn't take this long, the last 2 I was on.
This is like some blooper material here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's. I guess it's late, but I don't even... I don't know. Okay. Oh, yeah, and one last thing. Usually, for some reason, after recordings, people have told me, oh, yeah, and it felt so weird to not swear and stuff. But you guys can totally swear. Like,
well,
we've got...
that's not going to happen over here right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you've got, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, like, don't censor yourselves. It's just that I don't swear when I'm not angry, so I'm not going to swear in the podcast unless you guys piss me off. And then... Yeah, for some reason, like, some people felt like they had to hold back or something. But don't. We've got the explicit tag on iTunes, and we've only used it once.
We should take advantage of that.
Yeah. All right. Hello, and welcome to the second... Jesus Christ!